heavy petting.
We're going to listen to an interesting song about pets.
We are?
Yes.
What song is that?
It's your song.
Oh, but you know why we're doing this song.
Yes, I know why we're doing this song.
It's a sad, sad day.
It's a sad day.
Actually, today's happy. Tomorrow is going to be a sad, sad day.
Because tomorrow I take Shotgun to be neutered.
To be neutered.
He's going to lose his balls. And he's begged me to keep them. He's tried to really behave well. He doesn't lick down there. He hasn't been humping anything, but he is only 4 months old.
Even I lick down there. He's got amazing control.
But I told him they've got to go.
Why do they have to go?
They have to go because there's too many dogs already out there, and we don't want more shotguns anymore.
Well, Shotgun's cute.
He's very adorable.
We need more.
Then if you want a dog, go to the SPCA.
Okay. Well, I went onto the net and I looked at reasons why you neuter a dog, but it sounds like the main reason that you're saying is to stop him from reproducing.
Yeah, that's it.
But the other reasons I heard is that sometimes they can make the animal more, or I guess less aggressive, pee less in the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't take to all dogs, though.
Right. Shotgun's not very aggressive. I mean, he's a very sweet dog, very sweet-natured.
Except when he gets near the microphones. Well, shall we play the song?
Let's hear the song.
This I wrote for Shotgun.
Oh.
And his impending emasculation.
Watch my little puppy as he runs around the place. He is getting older and there's no time to waste. Finally got him body trained and taught him not to beg. Now it's time to do the deed. He wants to hunt my day. Hey ho, let's go. Hey ho, doggy ball's gotta go. Hey ho, let's go to the veterinary. Doggy balls gotta go. Hey ho, let's go to the veterinarian. Tomorrow is a big day, but he doesn't know. Wonder if he'll notice what he's missing down below. It doesn't make me happy, but what will be when doggy goes under the knife. Glad it isn't me. Hey ho, let's go. Hey ho, doggy ball's gotta go. Hey ho, let's go to the veterinarian. Hey ho, let's go. Hey ho, doggy ball's gotta go. Hey ho, let's go to the veterinarian.
It's the weekend of August 13th, 2005. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Pat.
And you're listening to This and That with who?
Jeff and Pat.
Go figure that.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Well, it's another hot weekend, hot Sunday. There's no sun in the sky, though.
No, it feels just hot and depressing.
Hot, humid, and depressing. I am looking forward to the cold weather.
And soon there won't even be pools that we can go to.
I know.
We're going to close them soon.
You know, by the way, I haven't told you or Susan this, but I have a new idea.
What is it?
And I'm going to seriously look into it. I might sell this house.
What?
And buy a house with a pool. I'm totally serious. I mean, I complain about Dallas summers, and why shouldn't I have a pool? Well, most people at work have pools. It's not like it's super expensive.
I want a house with a pool.
And I'm thinking, life's too short. I'm already halfway through my life. Boy, that sounds depressing. Get a freaking pool, you know? And I can't have one here. The backyard is big enough, but I would have to chop down mega trees. And that pecan, I don't want to chop down because it's 100 years old.
Well, it's not the most beautiful tree, but you would also...
It's a dirty tree. The pecan is dirty.
You would also have to put up a fence because I've looked around your neighborhood and looking into some of the things you'd have to look at just is not appealing. You'd have to put up a fence and landscape. It'd be a lot of work.
You'd want a fence because I'd be skinny dipping all the time.
You know, yesterday I listened to this one particular podcast. It's called Geek for Geek. And
now, what made you listen to Geek for Geek?
Well, it was on one of the Podcast Alley threads. I volunteered to listen to some other guy's podcast. And then this guy IM'd me and said, would you listen to mine? So I checked it out first before I said yes. And it looked like it was at least a topic that wasn't going to repulse me.
Right.
It was, you know, nerdy. And this guy was talking about comics and everything. But here's the funny thing. He's 23 and he was lamenting getting older.
He has no idea.
And he had this little soliloquy about how, you know, they say as soon as you're born, you start dying. And he doesn't buy that. He thinks you're growing up. But here he's 23 and he thinks he's through growing up. And I thought, he hasn't bought a house yet. I think he's married. I'm not sure he has kids, so he still has that to go with. He probably's got a divorce. Sorry.
Coming to look up. Forward to.
he's got job woes and rejections and layoffs and, you know, other things.
He's got a world full of hurt coming up, baby.
And he thinks he's
chipper up.
Growing and he feels old.
Oh. Well, you know what they say? There's old souls and there's young souls, right? Maybe he's an old soul, you know? Some people feel old when they're very young.
He seemed very nice. His podcast has a theme about comics, but it's other geek stuff.
Oh, okay.
Geek for Geek, if you want to check it out.
Geek for Geek. Are comics like a geek thing? I guess it kind of is. You get these sort of comic clubs that are really into comic books, right?
Yeah. I think you're a geek if you know a lot about any particular topic.
Yeah.
For example, you know, Susan and I don't think we're geeks because we are more... generalists as opposed to specialists. You, Jeffy, are a geek, however.
Like me, I'm a generalist.
No, you're a specialist. You know a lot about a few topics.
I know a little about a lot of topics.
And then you know a little about a lot of topics, too. Summer!
So we did something really interesting this week. We went to a Dallas Happy Hours event.
Oh, yes, we did.
And I got the mics out and I did some interviews. We're not going to share them on this show because I've got some pretty interesting interviews, I think, at least for my first real-time interviewing thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a special This and That with Jeff and Pat midweek.
Yay.
And maybe it's just because I'm lazy and didn't feel like producing it.
I think that's what it was.
Probably what it was. But it'll be a short podcast. I think, I don't know what it's going to be, probably 15 to 20 minutes, but look for it probably Wednesday or something like that.
But we had fun. It was at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah.
And we met a couple of our listeners.
Jeff and Shoko, thanks for coming out.
And there were other people from other podcasts there, like... Andrew from Exit 50 and also Alan from the Zany Aguirres.
Gary from Podcast Pickle.
Oh, Gary from The Pickle.
And a bunch of others. It was great. We met Lindsay from deconstruction.org. I think it's .org. They're a new Dallas podcast that are focusing on Dallas independent music. So that was fun. I did see a movie last night.
What was it?
It was called Broken Flowers.
Ah.
Bill Murray. I said that was like such an excitement thing, right?
I know.
Bill Murray. Woohoo! You know, he's really kind of a good actor, but he kind of played the same guy that he played in that movie where they were in Japan. Sort of a middle-aged guy, kind of quiet, but he was looking for some, went through his past, his like last 20, 25 years of old girlfriends, had to go look them up because he was trying to solve something. And
a mystery?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say it was a mystery, but it was kind of a mystery.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, not a big detective thing or anything, but it was good. Definitely enjoyable. Definitely a movie geared for a middle-aged person.
Huh.
Which was, you know, way too old for me, so I didn't understand it. But
did you ever see that movie with Jack Nicholson called About Schmidt?
I never saw that. Oh. That's a good one to remember. I need to remember to go see that one.
Well, I saw that movie. I think I might have seen it with Susan, and I don't think I liked it that much.
You don't think, or you know?
I can't remember, you know. It's just a faint glimmer of a recollection. And generally speaking, when I don't remember something very much, it was not that impressive to me.
Right.
But that's kind of what the movie you just described reminded me of. Well, last night, I know you guys went out, and I stayed at home. I did administrivia in my house. I looked over a friend's resume. I bought an external hard drive about 2.5 months ago, and I'm maybe 3 months ago, and I just got around to installing it. And what else did I do? I felt like I was very busy.
You helped produce one of our segments
today. Oh, yes. I forgot about that. I did that, too.
Cat's first big production.
Well, it's not my first. Remember the one I did about my mom?
That's true. Okay.
So it's my second.
Well, why don't we just go into that and give that a play? What do you think?
I think that sounds good.
This is at India Palace, and Pat brought her mics, and she did the editing. Here we go. It's remote Jeff and remote Pat. This is remote Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. And?
This is remote Pat.
We had a wonderful meal at, where is this place called? India Palace is on 635 and Preston. And it's absolutely fantastic. Did you have a great meal?
I'm totally stuffed.
So we had a great meal. We're also here with our friend Susan. You remember Susan?
Hi, Jeff and Pat.
And our friend from Maine, Wei Xing.
Hi, Jeffy and Pat.
Did you enjoy your meal?
Absolutely. I can't eat another bite.
This was especially really for Wei Xing, who informs us that she can't get good Indian food in Maine, in Portland, Maine. Go figure.
That is correct. Go figure. I don't understand it. There seems to be, how many billions of population of Indians? And we can't seem to get a nice couple to come to Portland, Maine to cook us some good food? I mean, that's just preposterous, don't you think?
That is just crazy. That is unbelievable. But you can also get good lobster here in Dallas. Much better than in Maine, from what I hear. Right?
That is correct. The lobster from, Bachman Lake. I heard the Bachman Lake lobsters are the best.
They are fantastic. They're a real delicacy around these parts. Let's go around the table real fast and find out what we had. I had the chicken special. It was a spicy dish with cinnamon, and I had my reservations because cinnamon in my meat is not normally what I want, and it was incredible. I don't remember the name, though.
I also had a chicken dish, chicken tikka masala. It was delish, and Jeff ate half of mine.
I had the chicken tikka masala, and I ate all of mine. I also had some saag paneer. Yummy. Very, very yummy and creamy. And the aloo gobi was okay. Kind of expensive.
I had the curry navratan. And I thought it was very, very good. It was. I thought it was very good. And I also had a couple of scoops of the saag paneer. And I love saag paneer. And I had some of the chickens. And those were very, very good. And I love the raita that Susan ordered. And, of course, the mango chutney is just, it's so nice. It's so nice to eat good food. Not that we don't have good food in Maine. We do. We really have some really good food in Maine.
We have a good governor.
Good ethnic food. That's what we don't have.
Before we move this back to the studio, I did want to talk about the beer. Susan and I both enjoyed what was it called? Kingfisher. And it was a very hoppy lager. I absolutely loved it. I'm in love with this beer. It's really good.
I agree. I think Jeff is in love for the first time with this beer. And I wish it's a little embarrassing for the table, but he's been very in love with the beer.
We were making goo-goo eyes. Just the Kingfisher and me. So we're out of here. We're going to send you back. I'll let Pat send us back.
Bring it on in, present day Jeff and Pat.
You lazy corporate scum sucker people. You kiss ass podcasters. Pat, that was pretty darn good.
Thanks. There were a couple of awkward clips, editing clips, but, you know, I did my best.
I was just being nice. That really, really sucked. No, I'm kidding. It was good. Especially when you're new to editing software. It's always a kind of a pain.
Well, you know, Jeff, the other thing, though, is after I got it all done, I listened to it and I thought, I don't think we said the world's most interesting comments about our meal. So I was wondering, why don't we just take a few extra seconds here and add some more detail to it?
We're going to add some value.
We're going to add value. Because all we said before was, I had this and it was good.
Well, let me first. Can I start?
Sure, go ahead.
What I had was good. How's
Dork.
That for adding value?
The meal was expensive. I think it was, the three of us paid about $45.
See, it's so funny. This is a horrible, horrible attribute of mine. But I just get the credit card. I just sign the bill. I calculate the tip. I don't even think of the money. I really don't. It's like when I buy gas. You know, people will go look for the cheapest gas station. I have no idea what I pay for gas.
Well, you know, normally I don't, but $45 for, well, that was, you know, we paid for Wei Xing's meal also, so
right.
It was a little bit higher. It still seemed kind of high. And I had the chicken tikka masala, which was really very good, but the more I thought about it, it was like, I think the meat was all chicken thighs, and I think I've had it in the past where it was chicken breast. I prefer it to be chicken breast.
Yeah, I was thinking that dish was supposed to be chicken breast, too.
And
I don't know.
It was very good from a flavor perspective. It wasn't overpowering. It wasn't bland or anything like that. The other thing, the aloo gobi, was really expensive. I think it was $9 for that little blob of food. And, to me, that was way, way expensive. It should have been like $4. And it was not horrible tasting, but it wasn't fabulous either.
Well, we were wondering if listeners out there have any other recommendations. Actually, a woman in my office, Deb Johnny, I don't think she listens to the show, so I can give out her name and address. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I was asking her, and she did give me a couple names. In fact, there was one Indian restaurant on Knox Henderson, real close to here.
Really?
Yeah, I wrote down the name. It's at work. I'll have to get it and look into it. But she didn't think that much of India Palace.
Oh.
So,
all righty. Well, there you have it.
Now, I've had the lunch buffet, and it's one of the better Indian lunch buffets I've ever had. So, but I enjoyed my dinner. You're probably right. It was overpriced if it was that much. But I enjoyed it.
Jai Baba Jai Antaryami Jai Anant Jai Jagadadhar Purana Brahma Sanatana Swami Akhila Vishwa Ke Palanahar.
Jeff, I don't know if you remember this from a long, long time ago.
Oh, I remember that.
There was this guy that I met one time in Scotland.
Oh.
Do you remember?
I
went to Scotland?
Faintly do.
So what happened is I was working with Kevin, who I mentioned last
right.
week, and Kevin was working with this woman on a project, and she was from the UK, and she came over a couple times to visit with us and to do work, of course, and one day she said, I've got some guy you should meet. So she gave me his email address, and he and I wrote back and forth for a while, and one year I went to go see him, and I arrived in the UK the day that Princess Diana was killed in that car accident.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, he took me around the Scotland, and it was a very nice trip.
So you weren't in Greece with us. We had a big group in Greece at the same day that that Princess Di was killed, because I guess everybody remembers where they were.
Right.
And we heard it in some remote place on a Greek island.
Okay.
How come you didn't come with us? Interesting.
I think I'd had this trip to the UK planned.
Okay.
Anyway, he and I still send email messages occasionally, and I got one from him the other day that made me go, huh. He sends me this article that's telling the story about this woman who was unemployed in Germany. So she's unemployed. She was like a bartender or something like that. She goes to one of these unemployment centers, and it turns out that because prostitution is legal in Germany, that any woman under 55 who has been out of work for more than a year, they can be forced to take any available job, including a job in the sex industry. or they'll lose their unemployment benefits.
Uh-huh. But okay, so there's got to be like a certain, if that's true and if it's legal and if it's filed with unemployment, you'd think there would be a job description.
Right.
Is there such? Have you found one?
No, I didn't look.
Interesting.
Not me personally. But so, for example, you know, the basis of this is that they want to treat employers who are looking for a prostitute as the same way as they would treat employers who are looking for a dental nurse. I mean, they basically treat them the same.
Right.
And wow. Prostitution is legal. So, you know, there are prostitution jobs out there. And I suppose if your skills are not, you know, maybe they obviously can't force you to be a dental assistant if you don't have the skills. But if you're a waitress and you just take orders.
Right.
Well.
Pretty much anybody can do it. And I guess that's the same idea with prostitution.
Right. I guess so. And then they talked about how, you know, there would be people who worked in call centers. If they lost their job in a call center, well, you know, hey, you can be a telephone sex operator.
The problem is it doesn't make sense. Here's why it doesn't make sense to me, because there are moral and religious reasons why people would feel bound to not do that. You know what I mean?
Well, yes, but in Germany they decided to take that distinction away, and they were like,
wow,
they don't believe it's immoral to be a prostitute. So therefore, hey, it's a job.
But some religions specifically say, you know, no marriage, no sex outside marriage or whatever. So that violates the religion, which seems like a pretty weird place to go.
I don't know, Jeff. I think what's your alternative there? If you were the woman and you didn't want that job, I guess you say, I'm not going to take it. And then
your unemployment is gone.
Right. That's it.
Wow.
Wow.
So
amazing.
Wait, did you say that this woman was 55?
No, she was 25.
Oh, so she was
the
hot.
The law is that any woman under 25 and under 55 who's been out of work for more than a year.
Okay.
Well, you know, Germany has an unemployment problem.
Well, put those girls to work.
Put them to work.
What do the guys do?
I don't know.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting tidbit. I'm going to go to Germany and hire me some hoes. And then be a pimp.
Why don't you just wear some lederhosen?
Lederhosen. That's how they have those German prostitutes dress up in.
Well, I got some more science for you, Jeff.
Science!
Are you ready?
Every time you say science, I have to do science. I'm getting sick of doing science. So I think I'll stop saying science.
All righty.
All right.
Will you stop now?
One more time?
No! Okay, some more news. This from an Oxford graduate student. He basically adapted a system for modeling atoms in radioactive decay to investigate how we look for partners.
Wow.
Yes, he decided to do this because he noticed a similarity between the problem of the nucleus of an atom decaying and that of a couple breaking up. So he wrote a computer.
I bet this scientist was going through a pretty bad breakup at the time.
So he wrote a computer program which placed software singles in an imaginary social network. And I guess he applied some of these theories from the
atomic theories of some sort
onto, you know, what would happen. And they came up with a couple of findings.
Ooh, findings.
So I guess they had a super dater. The super dater is the person who's, you know, the software single that had many short relationships. Super daters have a good effect on others' lives. Because they break up weak couples.
Wow. They break up weak couples?
Yeah. So
wait a minute. I'm a little confused. What is a super dater in the dating world?
Would somebody like you, well, you know, in your glory days, let's say.
Oh, back then.
So you were going out with lots of chicks. So maybe you would hit on some girl, and normally she might say no, right? Except
right.
She's got somebody, but her relationship with that guy isn't very good. You're asking her out. She goes out with you, and you break them up.
Oh, I see.
Because they're a weak couple.
That was a long time ago for me. Back in the day.
Some other findings. Multiple daters were less effective at finding the right partner than those who remained in the same place and let others come to them.
Really?
Yes.
So you're better off waiting for others to come to you?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I was actually looking for the study. I searched a long time to see if I could find the paper itself, but I couldn't. So all I could find is this one article that repeated, you know, was repeated in many places. But evidently, I think the idea is that the super date, I mean, sorry, the guy who just waits there has more, you know, he stays there and there's more traffic going around, so he gets to see more.
Well, it's interesting. No, what I've heard back in the clubbing day, I was never a clubber, you know me, but I do remember.
I saw you club a few seals.
Yeah, I know. They were good eating. No, but I remember reading someplace where it said, if you're strategically looking for women, you know, in a club, hang out close but not right in front of the women's bathroom and just stay there because you'll have all the women walking by you.
Uh-huh.
Instead of what most men do is go around and around and around and around.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's something similar to that.
And then the final findings that I'm going to go over is that an increased set of preferences did not affect the chances of ending up in a relationship. So as long as you are willing to accept only a fraction of your criteria, then the number of potential matches stayed the same. So I'm like, okay, so the more preferences that you have didn't increase your chances of being in a relationship.
Well, that if I'm getting you correctly, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because the more preferences you have, the more narrow your search becomes, doesn't it? I'm thinking
no.
If there's a database.
Well, I don't know. And maybe that's, you know, that, like I said, I wish I could have seen more about this. But what I'm really thinking is, you know, you might say something like, I'm willing to go out with men that have hair or don't have hair.
Oh,
right?
I see. That's what you
Unlike
mean by more preferences. Okay.
I only want to go out with men with hair.
So I was thinking when you said it, my first instinct was more preferences was I want brown hair, blue eyes, small bust, you know, yada, 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 uh-huh. Right? Which would be very selective. So you're saying the opposite.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So, and I don't know if they were also talking about from the perspective of interest. So, you know, you want some guy who wants to read the Bible, also likes NASCAR racing and water skiing,
right,
and motocrossing, and you'll be happy enough if you just get one of those.
Okay. Right.
So,
and
anyway,
you'll be happy with none of those probably.
But this made me think about another story involving Kevin.
Kevin, all right. Kevin's the man in this podcast.
I forget what this was, probably the same year that I was talking about when I met Patty, the guy from Scotland.
Right.
This is what we
Patty.
We all got together and we decided, me and some other friends, single friends, we all decided that we'd get together and we were going to enter an ad in the Observer, you know, somebody looking for somebody.
Okay.
And we devised the scheme. Everybody put in like $10 and we were going to break it out. I think the winner was going to get $50. The next place was going to get $30.
So it was a competition?
Yeah, it was a competition.
For dates?
Yes. So you had to write an ad and put it in. You got points for writing the ad.
Okay.
You got points for everybody who replied back to you. You also got points for who you replied to. You got points for going on dates. And then, of course, I think we got silly about, like, you know, you got more points if your date was incredibly ugly and so forth.
So, wait a minute. Who came up with the pointing system? Just the group of you guys?
Yes.
Boy, it sounds creative.
I think we were drinking when we were coming up with the point system.
Who won?
I don't remember. But I do remember that going out on a date with this guy, I was supposed to meet him at the Inwood Lounge. So I go there and I walk in and I'm checking it out and I see this guy standing up at the bar and I'm thinking, he looks kind of old. But there's like nobody else in there. Oh, I forgot the other part was that the other thing is we wanted to witness the dating events.
Right.
So Kevin and another group of people were there. They also came too.
That's funny.
So, you know, I think I went in first and then later on they showed up. And finally, I think I decided I need to go talk to this guy. And sure enough, he was the guy that I was supposed
him.
To meet.
It's odd that he didn't come to you.
Well, you know,
whatever.
Anyway, here's the part that I remember the most, other than him being unattractive and me thinking, I got to get out of here as soon as possible. He had on a button, Jeff, that said, "Yes, I really am a rocket scientist."
Wow.
And I said to him, "So you're a rocket scientist?" And he said, "Yes, I am."
That's fun.
There you have it.
So what happened? It sounds like a perfect guy. You love rocket scientists.
He was unattractive.
He was unattractive?
Correct.
Oh. You know, speaking about the Inwood Lounge, did I ever tell you this date story on the podcast? I don't think I have.
I don't know. Tell it.
I met a first date. Let me see. I met her at the iPod Lounge. It was from Match.com years ago.
At the iPod Lounge?
Is that what I said?
Yes.
Man, what's the matter with me? I met her at the Inwood Lounge, and she like had one of these sort of evening jobs. So she was more kind of...
Evening job?
Yeah. She wasn't in Germany. Anyways, so we were talking. It seemed nice. She was pretty, I thought. And then it was a school night, like Wednesday night, right? My school night is what we say we were working. But so she said, why don't we go down to this club at 28, remember 2828 down,
yes,
down in Deep Ellum?
I thought it was 2929.
I don't remember now.
Whatever.
And so we went, and I thought, okay, then she drove because she just wanted to drive. So I said, okay, fine. But I was a little worried because it was a school night, but I thought, well, she's pretty and she wants to go, so the date must be going fine. So she got down, we got down there, and Mike Madonna was there and, you know, other big wigs, and she was just all over those guys, totally ignoring me. Finally, 12:30 or 1 o'clock comes rolling around, right? And I said, listen, I got to go. I got to get up to work. Because she did not have to work the next day. And she just said, I'm having fun. I'm having a good time. And so I just walked out and found a cab and got home.
Wow.
It was awful.
I'm having a good time.
It was an awful date.
She had bad manners.
Boy, she had bad manners. I couldn't believe it. It's experiences like that, and I bet women do have those kind of experiences too, but it's experiences like that that do make you not want to date.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I was probably, that guy, the rocket scientist, probably went home and talked to his friends and said, she had a bunch of people over there laughing at me, and then she was blah, 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 blah.
You know, I think I know who you're talking about because I just heard a podcast where he was talking about this story. No, I'm kidding.
Well.
I'm kidding. Well, it's time for the genre. See how I say that? The genre of the week.
I'm proud of you, Jeff.
Yes, thank you.
What is it?
I learned. This is called Space Age Pop.
Oh.
And sometimes it's called Space Age Bachelor Pad Music.
And I think it's gonna be a long,
long time
till touchdown brings me down.
That's so funny. I don't know why you bring in football. All right, Space Age Pop frames a period from roughly 1954 to 64.
What? 54 to 64?
Yeah, from the dawn of high fidelity to the arrival of the Beatles. And at its inception, hi-fi and subsequent stereo technology provided record companies with a showcase for sort of this whole spectrum of audio reproduction. They could do things they never could before. And that's what I kind of like about this genre, Pat, is that they really use the stereo field. It's and kind of wild. Artists like Esquivel, Enoch Light, and Sauter Finnegan led the way in showing off their studio smarts. Now, a decade later, the British invasion, accompanied by Dylan-esque cultural and political upheaval, altered popular music forever. So it kind of quickly got dumped in the stuff what Dylan and the Beatles and Hendrix and all this kind of people were doing.
All those lame people.
All those really lame people. But it incorporates exotic electronic instruments quite often, like the theremin. I'm not really sure what a theremin is.
I don't know.
And innovative stereo recording techniques to create sort of a futuristic sound. You know, it's but futuristic for back in the late 50s and early 60s. Again, it was popular until the mid-60s when easy listening began to kind of incorporate more rock techniques. There was a revival of such in the 90s, such when alternative bands of Stereo Lab refashioned such futuristic sounds in an avant-garde setting. So I'm going to take you back to 1962 with Esquivel and Mucha Muchacha. Does it make you want a martini?
Yes.
This is Esquivel. I like it. All right. This is also Esquivel, and this is,
Ruby.
This is for you, Pat. It's called Short Skirt, Mini Skirt.
Ah.
From 1968. Ooh, spacey, huh?
I almost expect Judy Jetson to show up.
I know, it's very. That music was space age pop. Okay. Next up is Martin Denny. I couldn't get a year on this, but I think if I were to guess, it's also from the early 60s. It's called The Girlfriend of the Whirling Dervish, and I love that name.
I've seen Whirling Dervishes. It was boring.
Really?
Yes, at SMU.
Martin Denny, they used a lot of exotic sort of things in this music.
Wow, that's a lot of music going on.
Okay, finally, I did find a sample from 1997. This is sort of the modern, and this is a band called Stereolab. It's called Miss Modular.
I think this would be good music at a cocktail party.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think that's sort of space age pop to me. And I love Esquivel. I think he was brilliant. He was one of these guys that was just a natural talent at the age of like 15, who was already arranging band stuff. But I really like this genre, to sort of as background music, to sort of lounge music. You have a martini, you have a pool party, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd ever just sit and listen to this genre.
I see. I've never even heard of Esquivel. I'm not even sure I can say the name, Esquivel.
Well, you should check it out. His most famous album, I love the name, is Space Age Bachelor Pad Music.
Ah.
Yeah.
So is he dead?
I think he's dead. Oh. I think so.
Hmm.
I should have checked. Oh, wait, he's right here. Hey, come on in. All right, and that was your genre of the week.
That was fun, Jeff.
Fun was had by all.
fun, till our daddy took our Esquivel away.
You know, if my dad did take Esquivel away, because when I was 10 years old, I got into him. And, of course, you got to drink a martini when you listen to Esquivel.
Uh-huh. And so you started drinking.
Yeah. And my dad took the Esquivel away because he figured if he took the Esquivel away, he'd take the martini away. And he was right.
Well, now I know why your growth was stunted.
I know. That's why I'm only 6'4".
Well, I do have some news from the 7-Eleven front.
Okay.
Much news.
Let me cue up the music.
7-Eleven. 7-Eleven. It's time for that 7-Eleven update.
There you go.
Yesterday I stopped by and I was trying to decide what I wanted to drink. It was hot and I just decided to have a Slurpee.
Oh.
I had a Slurpee. Then there's a new flavor. It's been out for a while, but
there's a new flavor in town.
Frog.
Frog?
FRWAG or something like that. Frog. And it's very green, a
Go
little
figure.
Apple-y tasting, but not a whole lot of apple-y tasting. Very sweet, and it was very refreshing.
Wow.
I enjoyed it a lot. I'd get another frog.
I really need to get a Slurpee because I haven't had one in years.
Then the other thing that's happening at the 7-Elevens I go to is they are trying to push product. So now when you go to pay, if they don't say to you, would you like 2 cookies for 99 cents? You get the cookies for free.
Wow. Have you ever got anything?
No.
Not yet, but you're going to go and test it out.
And the final thing new at 7-Eleven was they had a very interesting baked delicacy, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Delicacy may be, you know,
right.
Overextending this, but it was shaped like an Oreo cookie.
I saw those.
Did you
I was going to mention them. I thought they looked pretty cool. They're cupcakes, right?
Yes. It was like a cupcake. It had a chocolate top and bottom, so it was chocolate cake. And then it had white cake, too, on the outside.
Right.
And then they squished some frosting in the middle.
Did you try one?
Yes.
How is it?
It was very sweet.
Well,
very,
I don't like
very
it too
sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought it was clever, and, you know, I have the hats off again. They're coming up with all kinds of things.
Wow.
All kinds of things to make us fat.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the Today Show, I was watching it yesterday. There was some woman who went on the McDonald's diet, and she lost 30 pounds, 37 pounds at McDonald's.
Really?
Yes. But she limited herself to, I think it was either 1,200 or 1,400 calories a day. And I think, I don't know if she was on it for like a month or a little longer than a month. I kind of got the impression it was longer than a month. She went off of it and gained weight.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's not rocket science.
No.
You know, I'm no rocket scientist. I don't have a button. But, you know, calorie, if you control your calories, you can, yes, I have a button.
A butt?
A butt. I do have a butt. I have a button on my butt. That's why it's so painful back here. But no, I mean, if you control your calories, you can eat crap. It's not good for you. It's not necessarily good for your health, but you're, you know, you, it's just calories in.
Well, that's what the nutritionalist said. They also had, she said, I could put you on the Snickers candy bar
diet.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Lose weight.
No kidding. Exactly. I don't see the rocket science. It's like McDonald's trying to make, ooh, you can reduce, lose weight from eating a McDonald's diet. It's all a PR thing. Well, come on, they're not telling us anything we don't know.
And of course, she did have some difficulty staying just eating at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Now, that's
anybody
because
would.
She, although I have quite, you know, quite the fortitude when it comes to eating the same thing repetitively. I love Wendy's chicken BLT salads. I have them like 3 or 4 times a week.
Wow. Well, Pat, we have a special feature.
Yes, we
that
do.
We're going to start this week. And it's not going to be a weekly thing. It'll be sort of a... as it comes. Dave from podcast called Random Digressions at randomdigressions.com will be contributing a audio column to our show. And he's very clever and interesting. And the first one he's got going on is a letter to God about being a dog or about wanting to be a dog.
Let's hear it.
Let's give it a listen.
I want to be a dog. I'm a little tired of the pace of humanity, and I just want to simplify, simplify, simplify. So I'm writing a letter to God. If I can formally explain my position, I might get a well-deserved break. I might get to be a dog. The first issue is God's form of address. It seems that Dear God isn't enough. You know, you address the Pope as His Holiness the Pope, so I think a letter to God should go something like this. His Eminence, the most supremely powerful and infinitely honorable Dear God. I've been a human for some time now, and though I appreciate the nature of human nature, I've had enough for a while, and I humbly request you accept my application to become a dog. This may be unusual, but if you allow me to explain, I'm confident you'll agree with the soundness of my reasoning and the benevolence of my purpose. Chiefly, I would like a break from the complications of modern life. I would like some time in a simpler world, a dog's world, for the following reasons. Dogs don't have to read disclaimers in fine print. They don't have to watch commercials. They don't have to guard against scandals or swindlers. And as far as I can tell, no dog has ever had to consult an attorney to decide what's right. If another dog doesn't like you, you know about it. There's no lying or pretending, just a lot of barking and growling. If another dog likes you, you know that too. I prefer that kind of simple honesty. As a dog, there's no pressure to refute an argument, defend an ego, or say clever things. Dogs are never prodded to maximize your potential or look slim and trim or otherwise measure up. I'd like some quiet time where I can just live for a while, simply live. I want to learn how to keep my priorities something like this. Friendliness, playing, sleeping, and food. A simple agenda indeed. Finally, girls seem to like dogs, so it's my only hope of being a chick magnet. I admit, this is a selfish reason, so if you choose to make me an ugly dog, I'll accept it with the grace and ease dogs have in accepting themselves as they are. In other words, I'll be a good dog. If you find it in your discernment to grant my request, I'd like to be a regular mutt dog, not a pedigree, please. Humans judge pedigrees as much as they judge other humans, and I'd like to be free of that for a while. I don't want to have to stand right, or walk right, or speak right. In fact, I don't want to have to speak at all. I'd like some simple, quiet time. As your friend Mahatma Gandhi said, in the attitude of silence, the soul finds a path in a clear light, and what is elusive and deceptive resolves itself into crystal clearness. So I request you grant me this indulgence, a direct experience in utter simplicity, a personal experiment in life outside the human condition. I may not be the most qualified, but I'm the most willing. Please hurry. I'm ready when you are.
Well, Pat, I found a couple new shows on TV that I've been enjoying.
Really?
Yeah, it's really interesting because the only way I discover new shows is if they're I'm TiVoing certain times and the show that I was originally TiVoing is not showing anymore and they put something else in between.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
All right. So what have you been looking at?
Well, the two shows I wanted to... You'll laugh at this one. How to Be a Hilton.
Oh, my God.
I know. I just had to watch it because it was TiVo'd. It was there. So I thought, well, I'll give this because I just don't like Paris Hilton. I don't like the way she looks. I know that sounds surprising. And I just don't like the image and everything. I was blown away. Now, this show wasn't that much. In fact, the people that were on it, it's over now. I watched the last show last week.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Did you watch it more than once?
I watched it three times.
Okay.
Yeah. So the contestants weren't all that interesting, but you know what? Kathy Hilton was extremely charming.
Wow.
She was a winner in my book. And you know what really kind of, I don't want to say touched me, because that's a little bit strong. But listen to this. She was very sweet. You know how when you're the leader of these things where you have to kick people off, you have to say some bad things about some of the candidates, right? In every case, Pat, when she had bad things to say to the candidate face-to-face, they would show her. They wouldn't show her face. They showed her back and the candidate. And then the voice, her voice was overdubbed. In other words, she didn't do it live. And I thought, that's probably because she couldn't. She's too sweet. Because she really has a sweet persona, and she's very beautiful, too. I would definitely date Kathy Hilton and not Paris Hilton in a heartbeat, which I guess really shows my age.
Well, there was also a book out that I think they were talking about it on the Today Show, The 100 People Who Are Ruining America.
Oh.
And
it starts with Jeff and Pat.
And this guy said Kathy Hilton and Mr. Hilton. I don't know what his name is.
I don't know either.
And it was basically his defense of it was, look, they produced Paris Hilton. They can't be doing anything right.
Well, I disagree. And in fact, I'm kind of thinking, who knows, maybe she's just fantastic and she was very well produced, you know, to be a certain way, because you never know. But if she's at all like she appeared on screen, Paris will probably end up being okay.
I mean, really?
Yeah, I think she's all right. I don't know what the dad's like.
Well, I guess the jury's out. We'll see.
Well, I know. Part of me thinks Paris is going to be this weird, weird, eccentric lady. Another show that I watched, and actually I got this one from Salon Magazine. It's on FX. It's called Over There. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's stunningly good. I was impressed. It's about a squad in Iraq. Fighting. What was amazing to me is I can't think of any in my life any TV show that was about a war that was going on at the same time, and it seemed very realistic. There is really kind of grueling. You see a lot of awful things in this TV show.
How long is it?
It's 1 hour. It's every week. I've watched three episodes so far. I will have to say this. I don't know whether it's because I'm getting used to it or whether they just put their best stuff up for it, but the first one was the absolute best. It was incredible. I got done watching it and thought, my God, this is the best show on TV.
Wow.
Second one, great. Third one, good.
Ah.
So I don't know if it's trending bad or maybe I'm just getting used to it.
Uh-huh.
The jury's still out, but it's really worth watching. It's on the FX station. It's either on Tuesday or Wednesday night. It's time for your Dallas Minute.
Jeff, remember when we went to the movie last week? What did you have at the movie?
I had popcorn.
And?
And
ice cream. Actually, it was an ice cream. It was gelato.
Gelato.
And that's what I was thinking about as far as the Dallas Minute goes, is Dallas has a great chain of stores that make authentic Italian ice cream, authentic Italian gelato, and that's called Pachugo.
Pachugo.
There's one at...
Pachugo, Pachugo.
There's The flagship one was, I think, opened up on Lover's Lane. Now they have them in different places. But one time when my mom came to visit me, we went there, and my mom chatted with the owners. They, of course, spoke in Italian. I think they are from, now I'm not going to remember where they're from. They might have been from Bologna.
They were just 100%. Full of Bologna.
And they gave my mom some of the special cherry sauce that's, I think, part of the Pachugo ice cream.
Oh.
And if you want authentic Italian gelato, Pachugo is the place to go. It's really very good.
You know, it's very good. But, you know, my knock against Pachugo and probably Italian ice cream in general, maybe I'd miss, is that it melts so fast. It's like they don't have it as cold as regular. And I don't like ice cream when it melts. I just don't like it.
I think it doesn't have as much butterfat in it.
Maybe that's what it does. Really?
Yes.
Yeah. And it just tastes okay to me. It's not Ben and Jerry's. I'd rather have Ben and Jerry's in a heartbeat. What's different about Italian ice cream, in your opinion?
Well, I think most of the time the gelato that most people think about in Italy is the stuff that's more of the fruit flavor. So it's not really the creamy ice cream.
Oh, see, I like that. I do like the fruit-flavored ones.
Right. They're very icy and cool and refreshing.
I like that.
Yeah. I knew you liked those. But I also, there's a flavor called gianduia that I love. It's hazelnut. And it's, you know, a chocolatey hazelnut that, oh my God, I just love that ice cream.
Can you get it at Pechugo's?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, go run out. Don't walk. Run to Pechugo's and tell them that Jeff and Pat sent you. I don't know why. They'll just look at you like, huh? I don't have a Dallas Minute. I did have a quick one, but we're running out of time. So that's your Dallas Minute.
Okay, well, now that we got that over, Jeff, do you have any acknowledgments that you'd like to make?
Yeah, I did want to make a few shout-outs. We got a lot of email this week. We got emails from Douglas, from Shoko, from Jane's daddy, and a number of people...
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? Jane's daddy. And a number of people that sort of said they wanted to be anonymous, but people were just giving us really a lot of nice feedback, saying they really liked the show. And it was so cool to hear, because sometimes you go a while without hearing too much, you know. It kind of lifts your spirits a little bit. I wanted to tell everybody, Podcast Pickle has got a promo with my Podcast Star song in it. They're promoing a Hall of Fame show sponsored by the Podcast Pickle that'll be airing, I think, September 9th. So go to podcastpickle.com and check that out.
If you'd like to contact us, you can reach me at pat@thisandthatpodcast.com, and you can reach Jeff at
jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com, or you can call us at 206-202-8255. That's 206-202-TALK.
We'd love to hear you talk.
We'd love to hear you talk or sing.
And that person who keeps calling us and just breathing heavily, stop.
Stop. Pat wants your phone number. She wants to have you do that directly to her around bedtime. So that's going to be it, gang. Thanks a lot. Appreciate all the support.
I've had a great time.
Hey, vote for us at Podcast Alley if you get a chance.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.